forged from greatness and an iconoclastic passion comes Rodman by Aloha Sun. This impressive 20,000 puffs disposable vape, inspired and endorsed by Dennis Rodman himself, features a slick dual texture design for a better grip, a chewy rubber mouthpiece for easier mouth to device contact, and a USB-C fast charging plus an efficient LED indicator so you can keep score of battery and juice levels. Easily adjust airflow using the switch at the base of the device, and you're all set to take the world on like a champ. Available in 14 unique flavors with bestsellers like Waterman, Blue Raz, and Cool Mint, and a one-of-a-kind flavors like Asahi Berry and Strawberry Ropes, Rodman delivers both quality and quantity. Now also available in nicotine pouches like Zyn, but tastier. Go to Rodman9K.com to get your head in the game with Rodman 20K. Disposables and nicotine pouches. As a special deal for our listeners, Rodman by Aloha Sun is offering 20% off your first purchase with the code DRINKBRO. Again, that's 20% off with the code DRINKBRO.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. Dan, how many guns did you bring today?
Only one, because we're flying.
Oh, okay.
Just the one I'm taking with me.
Hoping it would be two, because I kind of wanted to just do an on-screen dual suicide.
Do a suicide, yeah.
As Braves fans.
We could tandem hang ourselves, I guess.
Okay.
Just wrap a cable around our neck and jump off opposite sides of a building.
Okay.
I think Bill Burry should tell a joke about that.
That works for me.
The physics makes sense.
I just kind of want to fucking die right now. The Braves, 9 games out of first place in the NL East, still first in the wild card. The pretender Phillies sitting on our throne for now. But you know what? Maybe we're getting what we wish for, because what have we said the last 2 years?
Well, we're 10 games out.
10 games
but
out?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What have we said the last 2 years? Fuck this bye. Fuck this layoff. Maybe I'd rather just be the fucking wild card team. And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if somebody would hit, but or pitch, you know.
Yeah, even the pitching has gotten to that point now. We'll talk about pitching a little bit, because I wanted to get your thoughts on Hudson Waldrop's debut. But before we get to that, so last week we talked about, man, like the numbers are better than they look in terms of, you know, this and that or whatever. Like hard hit ball, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Since that episode, I've seen two different posts, one on Reddit, one on Twitter, that I kind of want to just go over today a little bit in terms of showing how we're doing overall and then when it matters. First up, this is a guy called at Braves Stats on Twitter. He's a good follow. Since April 29th, and we started out great, by the way. We had the co-best record in baseball most of the time. Okay lead in the East, but the Phillies have been hot all year. One of the best records in baseball. We were first in everybody's power rankings for the first month of the year, basically. Since April 29th, we are 30th in runs, 30th in hits, 28th in batting average on balls and plays. So there's your luck, or lack thereof, mm-hmm. I should say. Our team batting average since April 29th is .218. We're hitting like a minor leaguer as a fucking team. And that's with Marcelo Zuna.
Well, over the last 7 days, we're hitting .197.
Jesus.
With an OPS of .576.
That is OPS.
OPS.
So combined.
Yeah. So .256 on base and .320 slugging.
That's, I mean, you could put like a double A player could put up those numbers in the majors right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Let me put this all in to a wins above replacement calculator just for shits and gigs.
Sure.
Real quick.
I hope there's
not
a dash next to it. It feels like it feels almost like a negative wins.
Oh, it's going to be quite negative. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, what'd you say? So our OPS since April 29th, not much better. .639, which is also ass. .281 on base percentage, which is, or I don't know actually what's worse, a .281 on base percentage or a .358 slug. Both of those are how the worst teams in baseball hit, essentially. Somehow our slugging isn't last in baseball, but our on-base percentage is. It's gotten really fucking grim. At the
bleak. Point. Bleak is a good way to put it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's literally, presumably, nowhere to go. But one of the lines that made me laugh in Shane Gillis's show, Tires, is he's like, in the first episode, he's pleading to talk to the reporter for his cousin, who's his boss, whatever. And he's like, come on, man. Can't get any worse. And then the other guy's like, it could get worse. Positive it could get worse.
It can always get worse.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like here, where part of me is like, it can't get any worse. And I'm like, no, it fucking can. Like, we can remain last, but the last, how we occupy last place can continue to get worse and worse and fucking worse. It feels like there is no way out. And by the way, even when we do put runs on the board, like, as we'll talk later in Hudson Waldrop's debut, we scored 5 runs. We give up 8. So the timing is fucking horrible. And speaking of timing, if you think all of those numbers are bad, check out our numbers with runners in scoring position here. I mean, it gets to the point where this isn't even, like, it's not even about, what do you call it? Like, it's not even about talent anymore. Like, this is just the worst fucking luck I've ever seen.
Luck, but execution, right? I mean, if a poor craftsman blames his tools, what kind of craftsman blames luck?
And so it is partly execution, but it's like, it feels still almost random that this many people together can, like, everybody can slump, right? No question. No matter how good you are, you're going to have horrible stretches. That they're all aligned like this as a team outside of Marcell Ozuna is, that feels uncontrollable. Maybe it's not, but it feels random.
Some of it, yeah. But I mean, so in that last 7 days that we talked about, Marcell Ozuna's hitting .417 with a with a 1065 OPS.
Oh, damn it.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Matt Olson is starting to come to life. He's hitting .364 with a 985 OPS. Nobody else has a batting average. I'm sorry, an OPS over, Kalenic does, over 700. But he's the only one.
And by the way,
everybody else is in the threes, fours, or fives.
At one point last year, in the middle of the year, I remember we were talking about on the show how no one had an OPS below 800 in the lineup.
Yeah.
Which is, this is almost literally the inverse of that. Like, it has gotten that mirrored of last year, where everything's just backwards. Like, looks the exact same, but it's fucking backwards. It's crazy. So the runners and scoring position numbers, well, first off, so our team weighted on base average is last, but our expected weighted on base average since May 1st is about middle of the road. So that's another luck thing, expected on base average versus actual weighted on base average. But the runners in scoring position, our OPS by month with runners in scoring position, April, 772, May, 662, June, 630. We're getting progressively worse with men on second and third base.
Sweet, dude. I mean, that's a good sign.
Yeah. That's where you want to be. I mean, I haven't read anything yet about this. I don't know if you... There hasn't been, like, a team meeting, has there? Like, a players only, fired up.
Who would be the guy that held the meeting? The one with the fucking 240 OPS since he came back from an oblique injury? Because I kind of felt like after... after Freddie left, you would have assumed that somebody like either Ozzie Albies or Austin Riley would be the leader of the team, right?
Yes, Albies in particular, because I still think Riley's a little shy guy, but yes.
Well, that's gay, certainly, but Albies' OPS in the last 7 days is .385. OPS is .385. So what's he going to do? Like, hey... Let's all stop sucking. No, yeah. Somebody's got to fucking perform. Otherwise, no one's going to take you seriously.
So, actually, I got this wrong. The famous 2021 meeting was not a players' meeting. It was with Snicker. So, Snick came in and talked to them and was like, hey, guys, you're way fucking better than this. What the hell's going on? Just relax and play is essentially what he said. But I don't know what... I mean, do they relax? It's In 2021, it felt like it just felt weird. This feels like something's off. You know, like when you're like when someone finds out they have cancer and they're like, yeah, it felt weird and not like normal weird. You know what I mean? Like it felt like something was really different. And I had a feeling something was wrong. There's no explanation for how this can be so bad.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes shit just goes poorly. Like, if you look through good teams' performances over a span of enough years, and you're going to find these weird, aberrant years. Even like with the great teams, with the Dodgers in the 70s and 80s, with the fucking Big Red Machine. They all had an off year here or there. Maybe not the Yankees in the 60s.
I was going to say the Yankees in the 90s.
In the 90s.
They won one of their World Series in 2000, I think.
Yeah.
It was an 88-win team.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they had quite a bit of struggles moving forward after 2001, I think.
When they lost to the D-backs in 01. So yeah. 99, I think. It was the year they beat the Braves. They were certainly a loaded roster, but they only won 88 games. That year, and then 2000 was their last of that four World Series in 5 years or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it got rough for them for a while. So, you know, that shit happens, I guess. But this is not that, certainly. This is a team that's still young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their oldest impact player, and I don't consider Charlie Moore to be an impact player, their oldest impact player is Matt Olson.
Right. Who's what, 29?
29. Or he may have turned 30 by now. I'm not sure. Hang on, let's look. He is 30 as of March 29th.
Okay.
So he's their oldest impact player. This isn't the Yankees who retooled with a bunch of free agents who were well past their prime, right?
Right. They had like Roger Clemens on that team, I think, yeah. And shit like that.
I mean, we're seeing major, major regressions from Michael Harris. Not just regressions, but a complete failure to adjust the issues that he's had his entire career so far.
Right.
He's made, maybe he's making effort towards it, but he's made no progress at all.
Yeah.
And laying off low and inside sliders and getting dusted on hideaway fastballs.
Yeah.
It's just
progress. Attacking his holes completely. And look, obviously, still positive on defense, but at some point, like, you can't be a total black hole in the lineup. Especially when you're getting paid like he's getting paid. I mean, they gave him a good contract and he was supposed to be a player of the future, and yeah, I mean, his bat—he's been swinging a toothpick all year.
Yep.
Do you look at someone like Kevin Seitzer at this point, I guess, and think like, dude, where? What the fuck?
Yeah.
What's the plan?
Go get Mark McGwire, right?
Yeah.
And be like, hey, what were you on? Let's
or
do this.
Honestly, at least like, ask Chipper if he wants to stop murdering animals for a couple weeks and come hang out in the dugout.
Yeah, yeah.
Because wasn't he? I don't know that
he was the one that turned Austin Riley around.
Yes, and he was always kind of Freddy's hitting Sherpa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Chipper was technically a coach on the team a year or two ago.
Yep.
But only for home games. Like he was like, I'm not gonna travel. I don't feel like it. But he was like uniformed on the bench. Sometimes if he felt like it.
Yeah. I mean, I know he wants to spend time with his kids and all, but fuck them kids, man. You got games to win.
Yeah, what Chipper doesn't realize is by him spending time with his kids, the Braves are losing. I'm getting upset, taking it out on my family and making my children's lives miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Chipper, are you thinking of the children?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we need to have a conversation with his kids. Are they putting enough effort into the franchise?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This runs family deep with Chipper Jones. But, I mean, they got to throw everything they can at this lineup problem. Presumably, at this point, you want them to get another bat. I don't think the outfield situation is tenable, as is. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like we still talked about, a starter. I think, despite the injuries, the bullpen depth is still pretty much good to go. Like, who have we really lost? Like, Matzik, who was a wild card from the get-go this year?
Yeah, he hasn't been very good. I mean, on the pitching side, Strider, obviously.
Brutal.
Matzik. There's been some other nagging injuries. We got a couple of guys that are going to be coming back later in the year. We'll see how that goes. And Noah being one of them, and Ian Anderson.
Yeah, he's getting close to a rehab.
So, who knows what they're going to provide, if anything, frankly. Like, it isn't When you're, it's one thing if you throw gas, right? But these are low 90s guys,
yeah,
for the most part. So they got to find their stuff.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You know, and the other thing, too, is, and you know, Maddox always talked about, like, I was a worse pitcher earlier in my career, but the velocity was a little higher. It was never amazing, but the velocity was a little higher. So I was making more mistakes, but getting away with more mistakes. And to your point, a guy with velocity who comes back from TJ or whatever and hasn't pitched in a year and a half, so it's kind of rusty on just the thought process and the art of pitching,
mm-hmm.
you're going to make mistakes. But when your velo's high, you get away with those mistakes more than someone like Ian Anderson, who, if he misses with a pitch, velocity's not going to bail him out necessarily.
Right. Yeah. And that's a problem for Elder, a continuous problem for him.
Right.
Right. Because he doesn't have good enough control at the moment. He walks too many people, and when he makes mistakes, they're over the heart of the plate. Bam.
And again, if you make a mistake over the heart of the plate, but it's 97. It's still not, I mean, look, the right guy can absolutely put that ball 500 feet into the stands, but it's a smaller chance to do that than a 93 or fucking 89 mile an hour pitch right over the heart of the plate or whatever. But pitching, even still, I mean, I'm not super worried. Sale's been great. Freed's been great. Morton's been great. Fucking Lopez is still Lopez, still doing whatever the fuck he's doing somehow. And the bullpen's fine. I still want to keep things as tight as possible for a playoff roster. And also at this point, if pitching ends up being the only good part of this team, then I guess just fill in your strengths, right?
Or yeah, fill in your strengths and change your strategy a little bit.
Right.
Stop sitting back for a 3-run homer. This isn't that's not the game. You can't play that game anymore. Start playing small ball.
Yeah.
Or something, right? Like, it's look, I've been trying to get Snicker fired for years.
Yes.
I think he's one of the worst men, other than Marmol, who's the only reason he's there is to steer that thing into the iceberg.
Apparently.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I think that's the only reason he's there. Snicker is terrible. He's bad at his job. He's not good at his job. Name me one thing he's done other than be affable, right?
I thought he did a good job in the 2021 playoffs.
How so?
The bullpen management was there.
He got like insane performances from guys that had the yips forever,
yeah,
and now can't pitch again, right?
So and Will Smith was out of his
and Will Smith mind. Was out of his mind. Snicker can't take credit for two of the most dominant lefty postseason performances we've ever seen.
Will Smith was locked in the ninth, like he was never going to be moved out of the ninth. Mm. I thought for the most part he deployed the guys at the right moment. Although I will say, any use of Luke Jackson is egregious, and he did use Luke Jackson a fair amount. There's other stuff he's done that I thought has been interesting over the years and useful. Like he was the guy who put Acuna at one in the leadoff spot, which is a good, which was ended up being a great move.
Sure. I mean, yeah, certainly. But that's like not uncommon these days. Mike Judge, what the fuck? Aaron Judge has been hit leadoff or second for some time now, and nobody's going to accuse Aaron Boone of being a good manager.
They might after this year, to be honest.
Whether
or not it's deserved.
Yeah, I mean, I think let's look at his career in its totality, maybe.
But I do agree with you. Other than the World Series year and fuck COVID, I don't know. You can either wave away the COVID year because it was weird, or you can give him credit for the blowing a 3-1 lead. But at least they advanced a little bit in that before they blew the 3-1 lead, which they hadn't done in years. But outside of COVID and the World Series year, he hasn't won a playoff series at all, which is that is egregious to me. I actually think blowing that series against the Cardinals in 2019 was worse than blowing the 3-1 lead to the Dodgers in COVID, just because of the lack of off days for any series. I think, right, because the NLCS World Series, it was all 7 days in a row, and the Braves were lacking in depth that year. But losing to the Cardinals in 2019 was just bad. Look, I'm not. I don't disagree. Tactically has left a lot to be desired, much like Bobby Cox back in the day. But at this point, I don't know. somebody's got to do something. Maybe it's just Ron Washington not being there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we all just miss Cocaine Ron.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe he was the one providing all the cocaine because they look like they're fucking asleep right now.
They could use fucking cocaine.
Yeah.
Like, they absolutely need coke. Anyway, let's get into some kind of better subject matter. We're not all gloom and doom here. Hurston Waldrop, sorry. I always fuck up that name because it's a stupid name.
It is a dumb name, yeah.
Yeah.
Hurston, like fucking Thurston, and you forgot a letter? What happened?
Yeah. Hurston Waldrop had his debut. Fangraphs actually wrote a whole article on it because I think one of the Fangraphs writers is kind of like in love with him or whatever. Some good stuff from the debut. He did get rocked eventually, but he threw 34 total pitches to the first 10 batters faced.
Yeah.
Incredibly efficient.
Yeah, almost. Well, he was perfect through three, right?
I think three and change,
mm-hmm.
maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He wasn't perfect, but he faced the minimum.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, looked good for a while. Is he going to be able to duplicate that stuff into the future? Is he even going to get another shot right now? I don't know what their fucking plan is, to be honest, because they let that Schwellen whatever the fuck pitch again.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Against the fucking Orioles.
Yeah, it's like, good fucking luck, dude.
Just forfeit that game, honestly. Give everyone an off day.
Yeah.
They seem like they need it. Like, god damn, dude. That is, I mean, I feel bad for the kid.
I don't know what the plan was, though. Like, the way the rotation's sitting right now is it's kind of mixed up. They're not 1-4 or 1-5 right now, but Lopez, Sale, Morton, Waldrop, Fried, Schwellenbach. So they're going with a 6-man rotation right now.
Okay.
I don't know if that's to save some people. It seems like Morton may have reached the end of his capabilities as well. Like, yeah, he's been looking pretty rough lately. We'll see. But 1-2-3-4-5. Okay, so who else is not pitching? So that is it. That's a 5-man rotation of Lopez, Sale, Morton, Waldrop, Fried. No, that's 6-man. What the fuck? Why are they running 6 people out there? Because right now they have Schwellenbach listed to go against Detroit again on Tuesday next week.
Yeah, that is actually really fucking weird, because why would you run your weakest rotation spot twice?
I don't know. Well, maybe they're...
unless you're trying to save Fried and Morton.
Or maybe they're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And find who the fuck the replacement's going to be in the lineup, because it sure as hell isn't going to be Bryce Elder.
No, it's not going to be Elder. Smith Shaver's still on the IL.
Mm.
Inoa and Anderson are hurt. And people don't want a deal yet, which makes sense to me. Mm. But, Waldrop, one thing I the Fangraphs article said, and I was watching the highlights, I didn't get to watch the game itself, but the splitter looked real fucking good. Through 14 of them, 4 were taken for balls, but the other 10 were 4 swings and misses, 3 foul balls, a called strike, and 2 pop-outs. That's kind of his bread-and-butter pitch, and it seemed to work well against the Nationals. And even later in the game, I watched a little bit of the highlights when he did start to get quote-unquote smacked around.
Yeah.
He let up a homer, obviously, on a pitch he missed kind of in the middle of the zone, but... 2 of the RBI hits he had against him were just BABIPs, under 70 miles an hour on the exit velocity. Like, one beat the shift, or what would be considered a shift today.
Sure, yeah.
And the other one was just a bloop, right? It's kind of Max Fried style, where Fried will have what looks like a bad start in the box score, but you're just like, god damn it, how are these falling in for hits?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I run him out. I think I'd like to see him, I'd like to see Walter just keep going.
Well, he's pitching again against Tampa Bay on Sunday.
Okay.
So this week, I mean, honestly, I thought maybe Fried would be able to stop it, but he didn't look particularly good either. I mean, 3 runs is not bad or anything, but you're a stopper. You got to come in and give up 0 runs.
Yeah.
But he has not been great this year, in my opinion. He's been good, not great. But tonight is Lopez. That's our best chance of stopping this losing streak, which is now at 6 games, 5 games. We got Lopez, Sale, and then Morton against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's not been great, so there's a chance to string together some wins here. Detroit's pretty good, but we've got Freed and Lopez going in the...
we should be missing Skuball.
Outside games, and then we got Skuball against Lopez in the rubber game. Well, we'll see if it's a rubber game, but that series is Freed, Schwellenbach, and then Lopez.
Okay.
Schwellenbach's going against Casey Mize, who's been the worst of the Detroit pitchers this year, so maybe we got a shot in that one. Who the fuck knows? Then we go at Yankees for a three-game set, which is Sale, right now scheduled to be Sale, Morton, Waldrop. Sale versus Rodon, that's going to be a great game. But unfortunately, unless Sale has a great game, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
Right? Cause,
is it in New York?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then Morton versus Stroman. I would bet my house that we lose that game. I think Morton probably gives up three or more home runs in that game, probably only pitches four innings. And then Waldrop in the Sunday game, day game at Yankee Stadium. So we're going to see what he's fucking made of, I guess.
Yeah, no joke. That's fucking brutal with the backup catcher. Well, I guess at this point, Murphy's healthy, so he'll have Darno, which is fine. It's not like Trump would be in the lineup, but I mean, doesn't matter who's in the lineup right now. At this point, dude, just fuck it. Like, let him roll. Just let Waldrop go. See what he does. If you got a plug, you want to plug up that hole eventually with some sort of move. I think it doesn't need to be. I don't think we need to go do something crazy, right? Like, I don't think we need some huge pitching move.
No, I mean, and again, we've talked about it before. The landscape about who's available and who's not, who's sellers, who's buyers, will work itself out. Over the next couple of weeks leading up to the All-Star break, which is in, what, 3 weeks?
Mid-July. About a month away, actually, almost to the date. Actually, Anthopoulos was interviewed the other day, and even he was like, I mean, there's no other way to put it. We're not playing well right now. So I wonder if they're waiting for the funk to end, or if they, you know, if they're like, all right, let's see how things shake out a little more. Because remember in 21... as soon as Acuña went down, I mean, he traded for Jock Peterson like 3 days later.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, we're not giving up.
Yeah. I mean, it was closer to the break then, I think.
It was quite a bit, yeah.
So we'll see. But there's definitely talent out there on bad teams that we could get our hands on. There's some that I think are dubious. Like, there's word on the street that the Angels are talking about moving Trout, maybe. But fuck that. Like, I don't want that contract. I don't want whatever we would have to give up, and I don't want the fact that he's going to play 60 games a year.
Yeah.
Like, he's a nice guy and all, but I'm all set on that.
You know, I wouldn't seek it out, but if it happens, I'll be hyper-optimistic about it.
Sure, yeah. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah.
Really.
I'm not going to be angry if it happens. I will say that. However, if Anthopoulos asked me my opinion, that would not be on my list of moves to make.
I do think we should go get Sonny Gray, though.
From the Cardinals?
Yes.
That'd be sweet. I don't think that they think they're out of it.
I don't think they're in it. I mean, I get that they've played relatively well lately, but I'm not sure how far you think Mikolas and Lance Lynn are going to push you, man. I mean, Lance Lynn is at 358 right now. Mm-hmm. He will have a 4 ERA by the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right? So it's only going to get worse from here. It never gets better for him in the second half of the season.
And I think Goldschmidt and Arenado are having career worst years, and the outfield's a mess.
And Wilson Contreras is not. I mean, he's looked pretty mediocre.
He's been out. I mean, he broke his arm. He got literally just like mafia bat to the arm. Yeah. Fucking.
Yeah. And then, I mean, they lost, Biceps McGee over there, who I thought just made their defense so good.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill.
O'Neill, yeah. I don't know. I don't see. I mean, we'll see by the break. We'll see if it happens or not. But
I will say with them, with Mazalek, they don't want to admit defeat, and they don't want to be sellers 2 years in a row, because that fan base is, I mean, that's like Ohio State missing a bowl game.
Sure.
2 years in a row. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not acceptable to them. But we'll see. Real quick, before we keep going into this episode, we do have some sponsors. It's MyBookie. MyBookie drinkingbros.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros to double your first deposit up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. You only got $100 to put in, that's fine too. They'll match your $100, whatever you want to do. It might be summer. You might think there's less to bet on because you're a football guy or whatever. But A, we're going to give you some baseball gambling picks later in this episode. B, if you like casinos, MyBookie has a live casino. You go to the live casino tab at the top, and you can play blackjack with real human dealers. It's not like a computer game or anything like that. There is a camera set up on a dealer in a casino on an unnamed island in an unnamed sea, and he is dealing, he or she is dealing cards. You can see it. It's really fun. Me and Delco Dan play every Friday. We actually recorded our episode for that yesterday, and Dan had one of the all-time great digs out of a hole, out of a grave, that I have ever seen. It was fucking impressive. And he's still climbing back up. They're super fun to watch. It's super fun to play. They have roulette as well. Highly recommend messing around on MyBookie's live casino. That's a blast. And look, obviously, it's only June, but college football week one odds are out. NFL odds coming out. Yeah, it's a good time to be gambling on MyBookie. MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double your first deposit up to $1,000. Now, I caught this kind of randomly on The Athletic, but The Athletic did a poll, speaking of adding players to the roster, of which team a player would like to play for if contracts, state taxes, and roster were not a factor. So it's like, what team would you like to be on? What uniform would you like to wear?
Sure.
And the Braves won that poll running away. Like, it's not even close. The Atlanta Braves topped the poll with 12.7% of the respondents saying that they would want to play for the Braves. The Red Sox come in second at 9.3%. Then you got the Dodgers, the Rangers, the Yankees are fifth, Cubs sixth, Padres, Phillies coming in at eighth. I think there's one, the Mets come in like near the bottom. Marlins are kind of there. One thing I see from this poll more than anything, though, is it's a lot of people wanting to play for their hometown team.
So are there a lot of people from the Atlanta area?
I would say the South.
I mean, it's a big region, right? So
we're a regional team.
Most of Florida, I would say, probably. Yes. Definitely Alabama, definitely Mississippi.
Carolinas.
Maybe even Louisiana. The Carolinas and Georgia, right? It's a big area.
Yeah.
I would say maybe Tennessee as well, frankly. I mean, who else are they going to root for? The fucking Orioles?
Tennessee is actually pretty evenly split between Braves and Cardinals, east-west.
Mm, okay, Cardinals I could see, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's rooting for the Nationals, though.
No, from there. No.
Even though if you're in that area, the Nationals games get blacked out for some fucking reason. Jesus Christ. It's like, I didn't want to watch that game. It's like, you're telling me I can't come to a party that I don't want to come to.
You're not invited. I was never going to go. But so the Braves being number one makes a lot of sense to me. The Red Sox being two, there's not a lot of Northeastern players, I mean, comparatively. But the Dodgers, but they're a classic team, right? The Dodgers at three, that's a classic team, but also there's a ton of Southern California kids, which explains why the Padres are like six on the list. There's no other reason for the Padres to be that high.
Yeah.
And the Rangers being fourth, there's no other reason for the Rangers to be that high. I know they just won the World Series, but no one wants to go out of their way to play for the Texas Rangers, I don't think.
Probably not. Well, the one thing I will say about the Rangers is they are more than willing to spend money.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
And there are worse places to be. Like, I wouldn't spend too much time in Arlington if I was a human being, and
no.
I am, right? But if Fort Worth is nice. You could live there, mm-hmm. right?
I mean, I like Dallas, too.
Dallas is okay.
I will say one thing that would actually suck, and I don't really know how the Red Sox is, and I've never actually never, I don't know how the Braves is either, but like the Dodgers and Rangers in particular, do you take into account ballpark commute?
Maybe the ballpark commute. I mean, I think the tax situation is probably a big part of it.
Well, they said don't factor in state taxes.
No, well, people don't obey the rules.
All right, fair
but,
enough.
But, yeah, I mean, maybe. It's pretty easy to get to Texas.
It's annoying, though. I fucking hate getting to those stadiums.
Why?
You have to... It's
ones
like
in the city, you mean?
From Dallas to Arlington?
Sure, yeah.
It's like a 20-minute drive if there's no traffic, which, I mean, like when we went to the Cotton Bowl, thankfully there was not a lot of traffic on the way there, but on the way back, I mean, it was like a 45 minute situation to get home. I don't love doing that as opposed to, like, you know, the Astros are downtown, the Cubs are downtown. Getting to the Bronx feels like a bitch. I've never been.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is, because you, if you're playing baseball in New York City, you're not trying to live in an outer borough somewhere.
No.
You know what I mean? You don't live in the goddamn city.
Yeah. Why would you live anywhere but Manhattan if you were making baseball money?
I have no fucking clue. I mean, even as a, like, if, unless you're a rookie, still on a rookie deal, which is pretty rare to be playing in New York City on that kind of deal. But even then, you're still making plenty of money to be able to live in the city. You're making like $650K a year. Isn't that the minimum now, $650?
Yeah, yeah. You're making finance bro money.
Minimum salary, $740K. So you're fine.
Yeah,
right?
you're good to go. You might have, I mean, you might have like a cool apartment that's like not, you know, that. I mean, you're not living like your Derek Jeter, but
sure, yeah.
Your neighbors are like fine, like Goldman Sachs dudes. You're doing fine if you're a rookie on the Yankees.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there was any surprises on here. Really, a lot of it is just like, yeah, you're from there. Like, you're clearly from around there. Like, the Diamondbacks. But why? What other reason could there possibly be other than you grew up in Arizona?
I don't know. I mean, the Astros make sense if you're a Texas person. The Los Angeles Angels being, what is it, seventh or eighth, tied for seventh on the list? That's wild to me. Who the fuck would ever want to even go there? Much less play for that shitty franchise.
I don't understand how, anyone who grew up a fan of that team could look at that team. Like, do you just have like a messiah complex and you're like, I can save them?
Yeah, I'm the one. I'm the one. It
you're
wasn't,
not.
It
They've
wasn't,
had two Jesuses.
Yeah, it wasn't Albert Pujols or Mike Trout. I'm the guy.
Or Shohei Ohtani. It wasn't any of those guys. Three Jesuses. I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Three Christ. Messiahs couldn't save that franchise.
Not
you think you're the one.
Fucking prayer. You're doing anything, buddy.
Fucking.
It's cursed.
It. Truly, truly is.
It's funny, like the one team that they did send to the series, if you look at that team on paper, you're like, what the hell?
Dog shit.
Yeah, like fucking JT Snow, really?
Tim Salmon. David Eckstein and fuck, who is the other dude? He was on the Braves for a second. Oh, Troy Gloss.
Mm.
Yeah.
Gloss was good then, but yeah, they're...
oh, and Garrett Anderson also.
Garrett Anderson, Benji Molina was their catcher. He hit fucking 245 that year, which is, back then, maybe that was different. Scott Spezio was their starting first baseman, I think.
Good Lord.
Isn't this year? It was 2002 when they won.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
World Series 1, World Series. So here's their starting lineup. Benji Molina, Scott Spezio, Adam Kennedy... who hit, he had an OPS of 795, surprising. 449, he had a lot of doubles, I guess. Adam Kennedy, David Eckstein, Glaus, Garrett Anderson, Darren Erstad in center, who was serviceable, very good defender. Tim Salmon and Brad Fulmer was their DH.
Who?
Yeah, man, what the fuck?
That's the team that took down peak steroids Barry Bonds.
Yep. And their starting pitchers were Ramon Ortiz,
sweet,
Jared Washburn, who had a great year that year. He was on all the gas, I would imagine.
Didn't they have the blonde dude?
Which one? They had John Lackey, who is like a...
Lackey's great.
He is a... He should be a Hall of Famer just for what he's done in the playoffs, in my opinion.
His playoffs were insane.
Aaron Selle, who's mid. He's a 4 or 5 ERA guy. And then Kevin Apier, who was... He had flashes in his career, but he had a 4 ERA that season.
So they had
Percival and they had Schoenweiss in the bullpen Brendan Donnelly in the bullpen that year. And they fucking lit it up.
I was thinking of Jared Weaver, who was not there yet.
No, he was not there. But I mean, to be honest, Jared Washburn, Jared Weaver, who knows the difference? One's left-handed, but who cares? That's not a team you think like, oh man, yeah, they fucked it up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, how did they fucking win?
That's just Satan laughing at Barry Bonds for making a deal with him.
Yeah, because here's that Giants team. Benito Santiago, who was still a 15 to 20 homer guy, defender.
Was he the starting catcher of the All-Star game that year when we tied?
Yeah.
The game tied and then Bud Selig had to make it like worth something after
JT Snow.
Great.
Who had a kind of not a great season that year, but it was a good, decent season. Jeff Kent, who's probably the best hitting second baseman of all time, other than maybe Stan Musial.
Musial was who played, first base for the most part.
Yeah, he played second base really early in his career and then moved to first, I think.
Actually, the only one I think you put up maybe is like Rogers Hornsby, I think, was the second.
Hornsby, baseman. That's what I'm thinking of, yeah. So, but in the modern era, nobody's hit better than Jeff Kent. Rich Aurelia, who is great. David Bell had a great year that year. Obviously, Barry Bonds. Their center fielder was Shinjo, if you remember him.
I do not.
Was a really good defender, but not much of a hitter. But Reggie Sanders, who played for the Braves for a while as well, they had on their bench Kenny Lofton.
Oh, old Kenny Lofton. Yeah,
35-year-old Kenny Lofton.
I remember them having like a decent rotation, like Russ Ortiz.
Levon Hernandez, who has had some postseason success at our expense, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Russ Ortiz and Jason Schmidt, two former fucking Braves.
Shit.
On that team. Kirk Reuter, who was a fucking... Pretty good lefty.
They did. This team did beat Atlanta in the division series that year.
And then Ryan Jensen as well, who had a great year that year. And then Rob Nen was their closer. He had a great season.
Great closer, yeah.
43 saves that year.
They fucking blew that they had series, a man. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, like, how do you lose that with that team? But that's why you play the games.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were the wild card team.
Yeah.
I believe. Or no. Well, we caught him in the first round. That's all I know.
Wait, how many? They had. Where's their total? They were 95 and 66. They finished second in the NL West.
To the D-backs, probably,
yeah. I assume. NL West, let's see. Yes.
Okay. The Diamondbacks were a year removed from the World Series.
They still had Randy Johnson and Schilling.
Makes sense.
I think they got bounced in the first round. But yeah, I mean.
Oh, you know what? They did by the Cardinals. And then the Cardinals lost to the Giants. Yeah.
So the only time in history that the Angels ever won, and this is including having Nolan fucking Ryan, peak Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
Like 26 to 32 year old Nolan Ryan.
So they've had, if I can get this accurate, one of the, like a top inner circle, top five pitcher of all time.
Yeah.
Inner circle, top five hitter of all time in his prime times two. And then, well, I wouldn't put Otani there yet, but I think
he's going to get. He's going to be a top five hitter of all
time. Well, let's just say this. Let's not even talk about Otani yet. Trout, Nolan Ryan, you have Pujols on the back half of his career, still effective, but hurt a lot. And then Otani, who is literally just a unicorn, just a glowing, sparkling unicorn. And you can't do a goddamn thing with any of it. But you win a World Series with just a team of hobos.
Let's see. Pujols. During his time with the Angels,
it's not as bad as people remember, but it's not great.
He had 260, not great, but he hit 217. He averaged, he missed a lot of time, but his 162 game average was 30 home runs and 180 RBI.
Yeah, he was, it's better than people remember. He just kind of was hurt and slow and looked.
And then,
because he was 40 when he got to the Angels.
And then Nolan with his time with the Angels is actually 25 to 32. He had 40 shutouts, 156 complete games.
How many no-hitters?
Four no-hitters with the Angels.
Sweet.
Wait, right? Because he didn't throw any with Houston. Four with the Angels and...
He's got seven, that's all I know.
Three with...
The Rangers?
The Rangers, yeah, I think. Let's see. He had a 307 ERA, but his FIP was 294. He struck out 2,400 people in 2,181 innings. Which is goddamn ridiculous. His strikeout per nine was 10 for that entire time. I mean, it's incredible. They still couldn't win shit. I don't even know what the highest they finished.
They're really
honest.
All you need to know as an Angels fan, I guess, is if you have a star player, you are fucked.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Like, just cobble together a Tampa Bay Rays style team, and that's your only shot.
And you know what, by the way, even before the Mike Trout years, and it wasn't even that long before. They had some really, really great post-World Series teams with Vlad Guerrero.
Yeah, Vlad's another Hall of Famer that was on that team.
That they didn't win
another 3,000 hit guy.
Yeah, they didn't win a goddamn thing with. He won an MVP there, I believe.
I think so, yeah. I don't think he won one in Montreal.
No, he didn't. I think he won an MVP in Anaheim, though.
Let's see. Vlad Guerrero Sr. Here we go. Anaheim and to L.A. He was there from 04 to 09. He hit 320 with a 927 OPS. He averaged 29 home runs and 103 RBI a year.
Yeah.
And he averaged 172 hits a year. 1,000 and 34 hits in 6 years.
So from 2004 to present, they've had a Hall of Famer on their team, and they've won zero playoff games.
They're like, I think Pittsburgh won playoff games. In 20...
Actually, they might have won a playoff game, but they've never...
2009? They haven't won a series.
Yeah. I know Mike Trout's never won a playoff game. They might have won playoff games with Vlad. And Jared... Because Vlad was on... It was like Vlad, Jared Weaver. I think Lackey was still there before he went to the Red Sox. Yeah, it's a fucking nightmare.
Let's see. While he was in either Anaheim or... They actually won a series against the Yankees, the ALDS.
Oh, so they got to the ALDS.
In 2005.
Okay. So in the CS in 05.
And then they beat Boston in the ALDS in 2009. So they have two series wins.
With Vlad.
Since 2004.
Jeez. Good Lord.
With half a team's worth of Hall of Famers spread out across that. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, you know, good luck if you live in Anaheim. Go to Legoland.
Yeah.
Like, stay away
from... There's plenty of Disneyland. There's Orange County's got other shit to do. You got a beach.
Yeah.
Don't go to the games.
Go to Manhattan Beach. Throw trash into the ocean. Whatever. Car batteries. Whatever you got, man. Just live your life is all I'm saying.
Just have fun. Yeah. Let's get into the gambling picks for the weekend. Obviously, again, we're making those picks at mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROTHERS doubles your first deposit up to $1,000. Unfortunately, a lot of the shitty teams are playing other shitty teams this weekend, so I didn't have like a big parlay to build, but on Friday, I'm taking the Yankees over the Red Sox, Blue Jays over the Guardians, because I forget who the Guardians have pitching, but his ERA is shit, and the Blue Jays have Gausman, who's not having a great year, but I'll just take Gausman. We'll probably have plus money on the Blue Jays, or at least roughly about even money with Gausman on the mound. Against my better judgment, taking the Braves over the Rays. And the Tigers have, I believe, Skubal on the mound going against the Astros, so I'll take that.
Yeah, so Friday, I've got the Yankees over the Sox. I think Gil is...
He's great.
He's doing really well. I'm actually taking... I know Bradish is going for Baltimore, but I'm taking Ranger Suarez over the Orioles.
Okay.
That dude's fucking on fire. He's going to win the Cy Young this year. I think he's going to have like 25 wins.
He's got to be the front runner at this point.
He's by far the front runner. I think Imanaga is the only guy that's close, but he's not getting deep into games enough, and the Cubs just aren't going to be as competitive as the Phillies are. Maybe the Phillies slide and he doesn't win as many games, but they're not letting him down. The bullpen's been good. They're not letting him down. He's all the time. Every time he fucking leaves with the lead, they win the game.
I mean, he's got 10 wins.
Yep.
A 1.81 ERA and an 0.85 WHIP and 85 strikeouts and 79 2/3 innings pitched. So I mean, there's no like he makes everyone happy, right? Yeah. He makes the old people and the young people happy.
He's also thrown a shutout this year. I mean, he's got 80 innings already. 85 Ks in those innings. He looks great.
Yeah.
And Suarez is one of those guys in a season or a postseason when he's on, and that's it, right? We'll see. It may not carry over into the postseason, but right now he looks fucking great.
He's turned a corner. It's
I'm oddly enough going to take the Mets over the Padres.
Okay.
I think Manea is pretty good. Had some bad luck. I don't think the Padres are very good, to be honest. There's like that's a team with no soul.
Yeah.
It's like laying baseball cards out on your bed. It's like, oh, this would be a good team.
Yeah.
But they're not.
It's
Tigers over Astros. Astros are struggling. Brown looks like shit this year, and Skubal's going. I don't care if it's in Houston or not. Tigers are going to win that game. And then there was one more. Where is it? Mariners over Rangers. At home, George Kirby.
Okay.
His fork splitter, or whatever, has right around 450 rotations per minute RPM, 450 to 550 in that range.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
For a fucking, I mean, his hands are like this goddamn big. He like puts his hand into the fork ball, and I'm like, all right, cool. It looks like a two seamer. Are you fucking kidding me? You gorilla mitt fuck. But yeah, I'm taking the Mariners over the, and by the way, the Mariners have been surging in the West lately.
Dude, they have quite the lead. I mean, it's, yeah. I'm impressed by,
they got off to a pretty slow start, but they are fucking lighting it up now. 7-3 in the last 10. They've had some problems on the road, but this is not on the road.
Yeah. So. I mean, they're 6.5 games up. They have, I mean, they're only the third best record in the American League, but I mean, come on, fourth best record, actually. I'm sorry. I forgot about the Orioles, but yeah, I mean, the Mariners are looking pretty, sitting pretty fucking pretty right now. Gotta like it.
Yep.
Well, that is all I got for Tomahawk this week. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, we'll see you fucking later.